Welcome to the Boxing Talk Show, Fed but Firm, with the Hall of Fame boxing referee. I'm Joel Cortez and co-host John Zimmel for all of Las Vegas. Come on, guys, let's touch them up. Team fight. I'm Joel Cortez, Fed but Firm.
Welcome once again to the Fed but Firm Show here in Las Vegas, Nevada, the boxing capital of the world, along with my co-host John Zimmel. Talking about what happened this past weekend. Not too much big in boxing, but no. There was a lot of good things happening as far as the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame induction weekend. It was really great. John, let's talk a little bit about some of the smaller fights that took place.
Absolutely. Well, we had Robeci Ramirez made his long-anticipated pro debut.
Now, he's a Cuban two-time medalist.
Yes, a two-time gold medalist.
Gold medalist.
This is a guy who won in two different weight classes, both flyweight and bantamweight. Four different years apart. I mean, as we know, these Cubans are known for their fundamentals. They're known for their, you know, their lockdown style, the way that they do everything, you know, by the book. And so we were expecting a very polished fighter to come out in Robeci Ramirez. This is a guy who had his family's house taken away from them by the Cuban government when he defected. This is a guy who had his own tattoo, his Olympic medal tattoo for his, you know, like Olympic circles scraped off of him. You see the scar, it's public record, it's horrific. Everyone was really expecting a lot out of Robeci Ramirez, and he was put up against a guy who he was able to show, you know, should have been able to showcase what he was doing in, I believe his name is Adan Gonzalez from Denver, Colorado. He was 4-2-2. I mean, this is a guy, it was definitely not a pushover, but it was meant to be a showcase fight. This is the way pro debuts work.
Right.
And he got knocked down in the first round, Joe, and then lost a split decision in a four-round fight.
He lost a split decision.
In a four-round fight.
A four-round fight.
What? In his first pro debut, and he did not look like the polished fighter that we expected to see coming into this.
Yeah.
Now, is this a situation where all hope is lost? I mean,
no, absolutely not. I've seen some great fighters start out terrible, you know, and they were the wrong trainers, and you go from the amateurs to the pros, a big difference, like day and night.
Exactly.
And of course,
we saw it with Lomachenko, right?
Yeah, and he comes into the pro ranks and fights an unknown fighter whom he should have beaten, but what happened was that he was maybe a little overconfident.
That's...
or maybe undertrained for a professional type of a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up losing a split decision. Well, that means he got to go back to the drawing board.
Absolutely.
And do his homework, come back, and hopefully he'll shine better. I've seen fighters, great champions, have lost their first pro fight.
Well, one of our inductees from the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame, Bernard Hopkins, one of this year's inductees, he lost his very first pro fight.
Exactly.
Srisaket Sorungvisai famously lost his first two fights and said, if I lose the third one, I'm quitting, I'm not going to be a boxer. And he had a draw.
Yeah.
So he said, all right, I guess I'm going to keep going. And he ended up being champion. I mean, the guy's a millionaire now.
Yeah, yeah, and one of the best in the history of boxing. But that happens, you know, and in life that happens. We make mistakes at the beginning. We learn from them real quick. We go back to the drawing board, come back, and shine next time around. And sometimes you need those kind of losses and that kind of a downfall for you to realize and say, wow, you know, life is not as easy as I thought it was in boxing. Then it really gets serious about it.
I mean, that's the truth. This guy has been through, I mean, just look at what he's been through. I mean, he's got his own tattoo scraped off his arm. He defected from Cuba, had to deal with Mexican drug cartels, you know, reportedly coming up through Mexico. That's who smuggled him up here. And then finally made it to America, finally got his debut, had everything, you know, everything, the whole world in front of him. And he just couldn't deliver in the ring. And it was just, you know, look, we love your story. We're going to be following your whole career. We're rooting for you big time because we really like, you know, everything about you. And we really, we have a certain appreciation for Cuban fighters who have this, their fundamentals so far down, especially people with the amateur pedigree that you have. And, you know, this was a disappointment for, I think, a lot of your fans. But I think we're going into this and we'll see what comes out of it, right?
Yeah. Our show is about caring for people and sharing not wisdom and knowledge, you know, but all about sports. But we see somebody underdog. You know, we support all underdogs. I don't care where you're from, any walk of life. We'd like to support you, and whatever happens, you know, take that as a learning experience. It's something that we're going to say, okay, we can make things better, but we're not going to let that be a setback in your life, so we'll go forward from there.
Absolutely.
Now, talking about the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame, we had another Cuban defector, two-time, actually three-time world champion, Joel Casamayor, who is also a gold medalist. And talking about the Cuban government, you know, he told me the story where when he defected, Castro sent soldiers to his house and told his mother, give me that gold medal of his that we know you have here in the house. And they took it. They have his gold medal.
That's horrific.
You know, he was Americanized in April, I was had the honor of taking him to the courthouse and got him sworn in as American citizen.
Really? That's an awesome story, man.
So we have to take off our hat to Joel Casamayor. And he was one of the inductees of Saturday night. And I can tell you, he was so happy. He was so grateful for his achievement, but especially being inducted to the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame. I take off my hat to Joel Casamayor.
Yeah, I just want to touch on this. People who may not know, when he talks about this last Saturday night, we had, you know, the class of 2019 getting inducted in Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame, which is, by the way, where we are right now. We're at, as we always are, at the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame. But their induction ceremony for the class of 2019 was this weekend. And we're going to go kind of throughout the show talking about that because we don't have a lot of big stuff happening right now. So we can really touch on the careers of some of these great fighters who, you know, we're privileged enough to have been to. I mean, some of us have reffed. Some of us have watched. And we're very, very, you know, like I said, very privileged. And we want to go through some of their careers. People like Juan Manuel Marquez, people like Haseem Rahman, people like Bernard Hopkins, Winky Wright, a lot of guys who got inducted this year. And we'll kind of touch on them, you know, and some stories that Joe has that I'm sure.
It really is very touching, especially a great feeling for me. I got kind of emotional watching some of these fighters the other night. For a simple reason that I see them today as to when I knew them, like Terry Norris, one of my favorites in the welterweight division, and I could tell you that he could barely speak when he got up there to speak Saturday night, and that was very, very, very touching for me, especially because I refereed numerous of his fights, and I knew him. I refereed him in France. I refereed him in Vegas on numerous occasions, but he was one of the inductees Saturday night, and of course, Humberto Gonzalez was one of the other inductees, a mini flyweight champion, whom I fought here in Vegas on many occasions before I moved here in 1992. He was already had fought here numerous times, but I never got to referee his fight prior to that. But Chocadito, I mean, Humberto Gonzalez is really one of the great ones. And of course, you had Juan Manuel Marquez, whom I had the honor.
Let's talk about him because he is.
Yeah, Juan Manuel Marquez was one of the great ones. He's the one I knocked out. If you guys don't know boxing, just watch it for the first time. I know a little bit. Juan Manuel Marquez is the fighter that knocked out Manny Pacquiao about 7 years ago. Everybody said back then.
With a puncher around the world, right?
That was a puncher around the world. Everybody said Manny Pacquiao got to think about retiring from boxing because.
We said it, yeah.
Yeah, we all said it. And here he is back today, right
He's
now.
He's the WBA welterweight champion of the world.
Exactly. So. It goes to show that sometimes when you think you're down and out, you know, you come back. He was revived and came back to be one of the better ones in the welterweight division.
Revived is a good term because he when he was down on his face, he looked like he might not ever get up. That was a crazy knockout.
He was out cold for about
Let's
two
go
minutes.
Into your history with Juan Manuel Marquez because the very first fight, that would have never happened. That fourth fight, that big knockdown, the reason why he is the Hall of Famer that he is, Juan Manuel Marquez, is like you always say, you need a dancing partner. Yeah. So one of the most important, I mean, him and Manny's rivalry, their four fights are some of the greatest fights we've ever seen, some of the most important fights of this last decade. And it might have never happened if they had a different referee in the very first fight. And I don't want to give you credit for his career, but what I'm saying is that rivalry was made possible because you didn't stop it after the third knockdown in the first round. You saw something. You saw something in his eyes. Can we touch on that?
Sure. I was talking to his son Saturday night at the cocktail party before the gala. And I told him, I said, you know, the only reason why, he said, Joe, I'm so happy that you were my father's referee for that fight against Manny Pacquiao. I told him, well, you know, the only reason why I didn't stop the fight was because when he went down the third time, I mean, he was in the first round. When he went down the third time,
yeah.
Manny Pacquiao hit him with a shot, kind of like glancing, but he would have one glove on the canvas already, up against the ropes. And I felt like, wow, maybe I should stop it. But when I saw the reaction on his face, like telling me, hey, Joe, man, come on, man, he hit me when I'm down. That's the kind of reaction I read in his expression on his face. By him, if he didn't get hit with that last punch while he had one glove on the canvas going up against the ropes going down, man, if he would have not reacted like that, I probably would have stopped the fight.
Of course. I mean, and you would have been right too.
Right. Nobody would have said, you know why? Hey, Joe's been here so many times, so many fights.
Punch too early, not a punch too late.
Yeah, he did the right thing in stopping. He wanted the guy to get killed. But I saw something. I let it continue, and I told his son, if I ever made a good move in boxing, one of the best calls I ever made in boxing was that night stopping Juan Manuel Marquez, whom then ended up getting a draw that night.
And amazing.
And ended up fighting fight number two, three, and the guy... He got his revenge.
He
finally got it. The second fight, they thought it was close. The third one, they thought it was real close. Maybe he won it.
They called the robbery over
and
over.
And the fourth one, he said, you know what? I'm going for the knockout. And he got it.
Not in the judge's hands this time.
He got the knockout win. But he was one of the other inductees that night, Saturday night. Of course, we have seen Rockman, two-time heavyweight champion.
Absolutely.
I got to referee him against Lennox Lewis on the rematch.
Lennox Lewis won. Yeah.
And Wayne McCullough, I referee Wayne McCullough when he won his first championship fight in Tokyo, Japan. And I had the honor of refereeing that
fight. That's really cool.
Yeah. And, of course, we have Vinnie Pazienza. Vinnie Pazienza is a character. If you haven't seen the movie Bleed for This, make sure you watch that movie Bleed for This. A very inspiring movie about a fighter who's been down and out. They thought he'd be paralyzed and crippled for the rest of his life.
Yes.
And he came back and showed the world that he still had it. He was very determined and came back and won the world championship when he fought Roberto Duran.
Yes.
Of which I was a referee in that fight. And, of course, we have Winky Wright, the southpaw, the greatest southpaw boxer in the history of boxing. Winky Wright was also inducted Saturday night. I had the honor of refereeing him about three times here in Las Vegas. And Joel Casamayor, again, I refereed several times here in Vegas. He was the other inductee, now a U.S. citizen, as of April of this year.
That's so cool.
And there have been so many great ones. Of course,
let's talk about the B one, B-Hop.
Bernard Hopkins was the last inductee of the night, Saturday night. I had the honor of refereeing Bernard Hopkins on two occasions. He was a great speaker Saturday night. He did very well with a very smart, very inspiring speech, talking about what he's doing today with Golden Boy Promotion and how he is helping out fighters, because he's been there. He's been through hell back and forth, and now he's trying to help out these fighters, get them all on the right track. So it was a great night of boxing, and like I said before, every year you have the induction in the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame. 2013, I was in the inaugural class. And, of course, we have...
So was the gentleman behind us.
The man behind us, Mike Tyson. He was inducted also along with myself.
I like him over my shoulder. That makes me uncomfortable. He's terrifying. Every time I see him in the back of the corner of my eye, I keep going, oh, shoot. I turn to look at you, and I go, oh, shoot.
Many fighters said that when I refereed
nine.
I refereed nine of his fights. I see him when he reacted to these guys. When he saw
the stare down.
He would stare down. He would look at these guys. They were knocked out before they even laid a glove on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he was amazing.
You took a shot from him, right?
Huh?
You took a shot from him.
I took a shot from him on the leg. Good thing it was below the belt.
But I wouldn't have taken a shot from him anywhere, so there's no matter what. Below the belt, yeah, you should have took a point.
Yeah. But I referee some of his fights along, coming up from the preliminary fights up into, including his last fight.
His very last fight,
did I referee. And along when he knocked out Larry Holmes as well.
Probably his biggest career victory. I mean, honestly.
Well, it was a passing of the torch.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I mean, if you rank his biggest wins of all time, you probably have Holmes, Spinks, and then you know, maybe highlight reels, Marvis Frazier, somebody like that, something that was exciting.
You know, Trevor Burbick when he...
Burbick was up there, for sure.
It's amazing.
Absolutely, man. Mike Tyson, at least we can do is touch on him. We have all these big... These big boards here. We decided to go with Mike, so at least we could talk a little bit about him, which I really enjoyed doing. I want to actually, you know what? Because we're talking about him, let's talk about his namesake. It's Tyson Fury's birthday today. We wanted to make sure we got that out of the way.
Happy birthday to Tyson Fury. Happy birthday, Tyson Fury. Hope to see you again in Vegas in the near future. I was pretty impressed with your style when you beat Shorts, and of course when you fought that draw with Deontay Wilder. We're looking forward to that rematch.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we are. I know I am, man. I'm very excited for that fight. I think that's the fight everyone's kind of holding their breath, waiting to see.
Yeah. And Don Hewitt, Boxing TV, wants a shout out to you and your friends out there, all our friends. And what it says here, Joe, what do you think about the signing with Matchroom?
Talking about Billy Joe Saunders signing with Matchroom. You think that's a big deal? I think it's good for him.
I think it's a good deal for him. I mean, he wasn't doing nothing. He was kind of idle there for a while.
Yeah. He won a 168-pound belt, and good for him.
Yeah.
He couldn't get the Canelo matchup. I think Matchroom's a good place for him. They take care of their British fighters really well.
And asking us, what do you think about Mike Tyson with some of the current heavyweights out there today? Mike Tyson will knock them all out. That's all I can tell you. I don't think Mike Tyson will have any difficulty where he was out there today, even though Deontay Wilder is a good puncher, and Mike Tyson always has some trouble with taller fighters.
Yeah, and Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder are both taller fighters.
They would definitely give Mike Tyson a run for his money. But if Mike Tyson catches you with one of those right hands.
Or uppercut. Yeah.
Or the big mean one. Uppercut. I remember I seen Mike Tyson throw the uppercut like, man, two or three of them in a row, four punches, and put you right out there.
He has one of the greatest uppercuts of all time, Tyson. I mean, if you were to teach an uppercut, you would teach it the way Mike Tyson does it. Everything from his toes to the end of his fist is all the way involved.
I think Mike Tyson, one thing about him, though, he didn't like to see blood. When he gets cut or something, Mike gets cut, he freaks out all the time, you know? And he's that kind of a guy. That's why he bit Holyfield's ear off when he got cut pretty bad. He felt like Holyfield was butting him intentionally.
And he was.
And he always said, Joe, if you would have been the referee for that fight, that would have never happened because you would have stopped him from using that head. But anyway, he
felt... I think when you bite somebody's ear twice, then, you look for any excuse you can. And, I agree. It was a lot of dirty tactics, but boxing stuff.
Yeah.
Headbutts and holds and stuff like that, that's boxing stuff. That's your job. Right. Biting somebody's ear is not boxing stuff. That's crazy, people. That's a crazy thing to do.
It's something I told you guys, make sure you have your meal before you go to the fight.
It's very important.
Because
you don't want to go in there hungry.
No, that's what happened. Mike Tyson.
Looks at Evander like a snack.
He looked at his ear like, oh, man, he looked like a nice sized potato chip.
He's going to keep putting this head in my face.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to take a bite.
He said, man, I feel like eating one of those pretzels. He said, man, this is a nice crunchy part of your skin. He said, it feels kind of nice. Let me bite that.
It's like a Lay's potato chip. You can't have just one, so that's why he had to go in for a second bite.
That's why he went for the second one.
I get it.
You know? But anyway, that's boxing for you and some of the stuff that happened in boxing. And, looking around this past weekend, I mean, some of the great fighters were around there. Ray Mercer was there.
Oh, yeah.
Alfred Ice Cole was there, the former cruiserweight champion. And it was just so many, it was good seeing Floyd Mayweather came up to it. His father got inducted. Floyd Mayweather Sr. got inducted.
I saw him there.
And he got some recognition, but I don't see him here on the...
I don't know why, but yeah, he's not there.
But he was inducted Saturday night as well. And Floyd Mayweather made a very emotional speech on behalf of his father, who was his idol, his role model, his mentor.
They have a crazy relationship, man. And they always have.
So it's been nice, and it was good to see Floyd Mayweather there talking to the fans. I was surprised when he walked into the arena, into the ballroom. And all the little tables, and after he spotted me, he came right over to me and gave me a hug. I was surprised.
That's so cool.
He could have just kept walking, but Floyd Mayweather, he appreciated, I guess, my service with me working his fights. And
every time he sees you at a fight, he always goes out of his way to take a picture with you. It's always cool, man.
Yeah, it's nice. It's an honor, to be around some of these fighters. And I hardly ever talk with them. I hardly ever see them, only at the fights. But it's so nice to be around some of these. It's an honor to be.
Is it fair to say that your two most controversial fights as a referee were both Floyd Mayweather fights?
Yeah, with Ricky Hatton and against Victor Ortiz.
Yeah, those were probably the two that fans, I mean, which just comes with the territory, let's be honest, right?
Yeah,
that's a Floyd Mayweather thing. That's not a you thing. That's not a what happened thing. It's just the way that's what comes with being Floyd, reffing a Floyd Mayweather fight.
Yeah.
But I think it's fair to say that those are your two. And so it's kind of cool that, you know what I mean, that you guys both acknowledge that and also don't let it.
I don't let that bother me. And sometimes I'm happy when people bring it up because I'm able to express myself why those controversial calls happen. Not controversial that it was my fault. It's the fighters themselves. Ricky Hatton, I love him. I think he's a great fighter. He did a lot for boxing. Also a Hall of Famer. Like myself, we got inducted into the International Hall of Fame.
Yep.
And I can tell you that Ricky is one of my favorites. I've always thought him as a great fighter, brought so much to boxing.
He was a great fighter.
And just there's some tactics that you use in boxing that we don't allow here. So the rough, inside rough tactics, when it gets a little bit out of control, out of hand, it's not like a wrestling match, and I got to put a stop to it. They stop, and not that I'm trying to protect one fighter over the other.
Of course not.
You got to follow the rules. And the same thing with Victor Ortiz for Floyd Mayweather. He headbutted
intentionally.
Mayweather intentionally cut Mayweather. I took the point. He kissed Mayweather. I'm sorry. He hugged the second time. I'm sorry.
Then went for a third time.
I called time in. He went to hug him again. Floyd Mayweather said, hey, Joe, give the signal, time in. Bang, bang. He hit him. Larry Merchant said it best from HBO. He said it was a legal sucker punch. It was like kind of unsportsmanlike, but it was legal.
It was very legal, and it was right in front of him.
Yeah, yeah.
It was right. You return to the timekeeper, so everyone says the ref wasn't even looking. The ref doesn't have to be looking. He called it in. That's the way it works.
I looked at the timekeeper to make sure that he saw me give the signal.
In what world do you have to wait for the referee to be looking at you to throw a punch? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. And I would look at the timekeeper to make sure when I looked at the timekeeper, Floyd was blocking me when I went time in. And then I looked to make sure he saw me, the timekeeper, because everybody was yelling. And when I said time in, next thing I know, bang, Floyd Mayweather hit him with a hook and a right hand. And down goes Victor Ortiz. I had no choice but to count him out.
Yeah.
You know, and I knew it was going to be an unpopular decision with the fans, but those are the rules. Keep your guards up at all times. That's why I say protect yourselves at all times. And that's what happened with Victor Ortiz.
It's the number one rule in boxing.
Yeah,
keep your guards up at all times.
Exactly. But you know, I love these fighters. Victor Ortiz and Ricky Hatton. I think they're great fighters. Mm-hmm. They brought so much talent to boxing, so much thrills to boxing. And I think that that's what we all need in boxing, you know, fighters like that can give it all.
I agree. Speaking of that, I got one of my favorite stories coming out of this weekend. It's one of my favorite stories in boxing right now is Anthony Yarde. He's not my favorite fighter, but I love that he's betting on himself. He's really betting on himself. Now, for those that don't know what I'm talking about, he wants to fight Sergey Kovalev. He wants to fight him for his belt. He wants to be a light heavyweight champion of the world. And Canelo also wants to fight Sergey Kovalev a lot. And Canelo is the face of boxing. So he offered Yarde $9 million, which is the same amount, reportedly, offered him the same amount of money that he's going to make for fighting Kovalev to step aside and not fight him. And Yarde said, no, I want to be a champion. I'd rather make $9 million becoming a champion than make $9 million sitting at home. Now, me personally, I'd rather make $9 million sitting at home than make $9 million getting punched in the face by Sergey Kovalev. But that's why I'm sitting behind a desk and I'm not. That's why the only thing I do in a ring is talk. But that's at the end of the day, I love that. Do you love that? That's good for boxing, right? When you have a guy betting on himself who'd rather fight for money than step aside for money.
It's crazy. Dan Hughes is asking, with Holyfield beating Tyson at any time. Tyson had beaten Holyfield at any time. Yes, Tyson would have beaten anybody on this planet in his prime. When he was taking care of himself, he was up and coming around the era when he knocked out Larry Holmes, when he knocked out Trevor Burbick. I don't think Holyfield, any guy would have had a good chance against Tyson back then. Tyson did have a good punch. He had great speed for him, probably the fastest heavyweight. People said Ali was fast, but I think Tyson was quicker with his combination punches. But I
quicker
think
that, hand speed, yeah.
Quicker hand
that.
Speed.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that Tyson would have been Holyfield if they would have been both in their prime. Now, I think that Holyfield brought a lot to boxing. I mean, he took a lot. He fought George Foreman, Tommy Morrison.
He was
Morrison.
A cruiserweight. And then he went up to heavyweight and became the heavyweight champion. Beat all these guys.
Yeah, and you know what? And you look at him today, he still looks like he's in good shape.
He's always
been
good.
He looks pretty sharp.
That's great.
He's really sharp and brings brought a lot to the sport, you know. You see Holyfield today, I mean, you look at him, you talk to him, it looks like he never taken a punch. He can really talk a good story about
still
his background.
All his faculty, he still looks like you know, good. You know what I mean? Not damaged.
Doesn't look damaged at all, you know. But anyway, you fans out there, especially Dan Hewitt, you know, we know you have a great show out there. And we had a 1-2 punch in when it comes to the boxing talk show. We really love it. I don't know if you want to be the one or you want to be the two, the 1-2 punch. Either way, I'll take it either way. We love you out there. You guys do a great show. We're very happy to partner up with you and have our show on Boxing TV out in the United Kingdom. We have a great fan base there with our talk show here.
Speaking of the United Kingdom, Joe, we got an announcement. Speaking of heavyweight rematches. We had an announcement this week. We got Andy Ruiz Jr. versus Anthony Joshua. This is a fight we've been hearing about. There are negotiations. Now there's an announcement. December 7th, Saudi Arabia. That's the announcement.
Right.
December 7th, Saudi Arabia. We have neither of the fighters themselves have said any. I mean, have really mentioned it. Andy Ruiz has not even posted about it. Hasn't said anything. There's reports that he won't sign it unless he gets a lot more money. Which we heard he had no leverage, so it seems kind of weird that now all of a sudden he's got all this leverage. Neither of those fighters were at the press conference today announcing the fight. Our very own Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame inductee, Bernard Hopkins, said don't be surprised if this changes venue again. He went out, you know, because it's a lot of weird stuff going on, right, Joe? I mean, help me make sense of it.
You know what happens sometimes, you get all this, where's the fight going to take place? They're going to take place in the United Kingdom, going to take place in the USA. Now they're saying, you know, they're going to Saudi Arabia. You know, all these casinos out here in Las Vegas.
Las Vegas is where I think DAZN wanted the fight because they make the most money.
Well, they make the most money. I mean, and the casinos can up the ante when it comes to money, how much you're fighting going to get.
Yes.
Andy Ruiz said $9 million. I don't know if it's $9 million. You know, if you talk about maybe 15 or 20 million, I mean.
Yeah, he'll fight him on the moon for 20 million.
But I mean, come on, you know, but I mean, when you talk about money, you talk about Floyd Mayweather. You know, when he was fighting his fights, he was in the hundreds of millions of
hundreds
dollars.
Hundreds of millions of dollars.
You know, and you talk about
he was making $80 million a year before he even stepped up to that next level.
Yeah, and now you got the guys in the heavyweight division. I remember back in the day, though, when Muhammad Ali was fighting Joe Frazier, those guys were making $2, $3, $4, $5 million. That was a lot back then.
That was a lot back then, you though. Know?
Now, who was it that turned away $80 million?
Turned down $80 million? Well, Deontay Wilder turned down a big deal with DAZN, but as we know now, that's a good thing because after his, you know, now what happened with Ruiz beating Joshua, he'd be sitting in the wings going, what's going on? I'm waiting for my next DAZN fight. I'm supposed to fight. I was promised a Joshua fight next. It would have been a kind of a weird limbo. He bet on himself, just like Floyd always bet on himself, and he did kind of the same thing, like Yarde's betting on himself right now. But, yeah, he did turn down $80
million. $80 million, that's a lot of money turned down. I mean, and Holyfield and Tyson, they were up there making big money back
Tyson
then.
Tyson made a lot of money. He was a pay-per-view draw.
Yeah, he was a big pay-per-view
draw. He was the biggest pay-per-view draw, then De La Hoya, then Mayweather blew him all out of the water, and Pacquiao came at the same time.
Yeah, but I think that the highest pay-per-view was De La Hoya and Mayweather.
It was until Pacquiao and Mayweather. Pacquiao Mayweather blew everything out of the water.
That was the one that really blew it out.
And I'll tell you something even crazier, is Conor McGregor Mayweather, I think, is number two now. I think it beat De La Hoya.
Well, I think if Manny Pacquiao, being that he just beat Keith Thurman a couple of 3 weeks ago, you know, it just seemed like he's going to be in the mix for a while. Last time I interviewed Manny Pacquiao, he told me, after how many more fights? He said, no, how many more years? I got about 2 or 3 more years ago.
That's crazy.
You know, I thought he was crazy, but then after watching him Saturday night,
he really does.
He fought like a 21-year-old. Just let him out the gate. He's ready to. He came out when that first bell rang. He came out there like a teenager.
Yeah.
Like, he was
throwing. He was throwing heat in the first round. Yeah. Obviously got the knockdown, and kept throwing heat for the first 3 rounds, and then kind of, you know, cooled his jets a little bit. I was wondering if he was going to be able to make it all the way to 12 with that kind of heat, but he just. I mean, that's what being an all-time great does. You learn there's levels to this game, and what he was able to do was cool his jets, scale it back, start regaining control of the fight. He lost a few of the middle rounds, I mean, pretty decisively, and then he got that big body shot, which was just amazing, and, regained the momentum, regained the fight, basically, and was able to win what I thought was a pretty clear decision. Obviously, the judges didn't agree. You know, one of the judges didn't agree, but that's why, you know, that's why we have judges.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's boxing for you, you know, but... boxing is still one of the hottest sports out there. You hear a lot of fans are saying that boxing is dying. I don't know.
Check our YouTube views to prove that's not true.
I think that the YouTube channel will tell you, I mean, how all the boxing is out there. Almost every day of the week, there's some boxing going on your TV network. When you want social media, you can see it's all over the world now. Boxing is just like all over. You just can't, say that boxing is dying.
It is such a beautifully global sport. I mean, it's unbelievable how huge it is in some parts of the world. So just because your, you know, pocket of the world doesn't care about boxing like some places do, it is enormous across the globe.
Any questions from anybody?
Yes, I do. We have a good one that actually I wanted to bring up. And thank you, Dan Hewitt, for sending it in, actually. I love this. Now, there was a report. We saw pictures. You know, last week we talked about Andy Ruiz was saying, I want to lose weight. I'm eating steak and sandwiches. I want to lose all this weight. I want to look good. Now we have a picture out of AJ, you know, Anthony Joshua's training camp,
right,
where he looks significantly slimmer. And the internet's been talking about it nonstop. What Dan Hewitt poses is, who would it be better for to lose some weight? And I'm wondering, would it be better for either of them to lose weight? And, I mean, maybe it'd be better for Anthony Joshua. I mean, I think the argument is Anthony Joshua would have better cardio without lugging all those big muscles around. But he's gotten where he has because of his, you know, enormous power.
Yeah.
I'm curious, do you think it's good for either of them to lose a significant amount of weight? I mean, they're heavyweights.
Well, I can tell you one thing, that the lighter you are, the quicker you're going to be.
Sure.
You know, I mean, with the exception of Andrew Ruiz.
Andrew Ruiz is so quick.
I mean, he was as quick as they come, and he was like as quick with his combination, like almost like when Mike Tyson was.
A lot like Mike. They call him Miguel Tyson.
Yeah, yeah. Miguel Tyson.
Yeah, isn't that great?
You know, but Anthony Joshua, I think he has a second career in the calling because he was also a good rapper. He can really rap.
Who?
Anthony Joshua.
Is he really, can he?
He can rap. He's a rapper. You can hear him. You go online, I was watching him this morning. The guy is really, really pretty good. So I think he has a second career. If he doesn't make it a buck, I think he'd be a good, pretty good rapper.
Well, that is awesome. I'm not losing. I'm not trying to beat that note. I just want to make sure I thank you all for talking to us. We really appreciate it. We've been doing this a while now, and we can't do it without all of you. Thank you for subscribing. If you have, please subscribe. Please subscribe on YouTube. Please subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, any of those, any Audio Boom, anywhere where there's podcasts, podcast app. We're there. Thank you. And please share if you're watching us on Facebook Live right now. Thank you. We love doing it live. It's our favorite part of it. If not, then please catch us later on any of the aforementioned, you know, networks that I displayed. Thank you. And remember to share and subscribe. Joe?
Fans, I want to tell you guys one more thing about boxing is that we all try to learn as much as we can from the fighters themselves. And, of course, for a lot of the historians out there, always sharing that knowledge and wisdom out there. And we're all trying to learn. We want to keep sharing our experiences in boxing to make sure that we stay on top of the game. But I always remember that there's always room for improvement. I don't care how good you are at anything you do, whether you're a journalist, you're a fighter, a trainer, manager, there's always room for improvement. We're always trying to learn. But that's it, guys. Keep your guards up at all times. Protect yourselves at all times. And remember, I'm fair, but I'm firm. Touch them up. God bless. See you next week.
Fair but Firm with the Hall of Fame boxing referee. I'm Joe Cortez for all of Las Vegas.
Come on, guys. Let's touch them up. Clean fight. I'm Joe Cortez. Fair but Firm.